Hi, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to meeting number 7. Every other Monday, it seems like we have a different arrangement, obviously, for not only committee members, but also to the public. And tonight's meeting, based on the packet and the agenda that you've seen, we'll be doing an exercise, which just as a sidebar, the public is invited to participate as well. But we'll get into that here in just a minute. Just a little housekeeping, if you can just make sure that your phones are turned off. Ladies and men's room, again, are off to your left. Starting at 5:30, we hope to conclude by 7:30. There's a lot of ground to cover. Clearly, the Community Emissions Reduction Program, known as the SERP, is on everyone's mind, especially the committees and the general public, and we are going down that path, and we definitely need input from the committee and clearly the public tonight. So why don't we just go ahead and jump into the pool. We've also got a dual bilingual translation. So if you need a headset, there's some on for the public, there's some on the chairs. We'll get into what these 6 tables on the wings of the meeting are here in a minute. But if there's not any questions from the committee, Tom? Oh. Thank you.
Yeah. So, committee members sent a proposal last week on time. You asked it be in by Wednesday. We sent it Tuesday. And it was a proposal for community air monitoring. Not exclusive. I mean, it's not a complete document. It's an initial proposal.
Right.
And I want to explain that this was, and we also sent a emission reduction plan, an initial proposal.
Tom, is that the one that Gustavo sent in, or did you send something separately?
No.
Okay.
This is a joint. What I want to make clear is this was a joint effort by quite a few committee members through multiple meetings on our own. And what was sent out, when the document was sent out to committee members, it was said that this was sent in by one person, Gustavo. It was not sent in, it was sent in by him, but it was on behalf of multiple people. And I want to make that very clear. And we should be discussing that tonight. And that document should have been on the agenda, and it should have been posted publicly for the agenda tonight.
Okay.
There was no reason why it shouldn't have been.
Okay.
So the public could see it. I mean, that's the intent of all these meetings. They're very public.
Absolutely. So Tom, we knew that you would. We knew that this issue would come up, and my understanding is that your proposal was circulated amongst the committee members. And on item 5, agenda number 5, when we get into the steering committee members, that issue can be talked about. Your proposal, you can talk about that.
Okay, so let me make it clear. How many committee members have read the document and support it? How many have read it and support it? I just want you to see how many people worked on this document.
Okay. Hang on, just keep your hands up so we can record it. Bianca, yeah.
Okay.
Jen, yeah.
So just to make clear, this didn't come from just one or two people. And again, make it public after this meeting.
Okay.
Put it on the webpage, please.
Okay, great. Anything else from the committee? Sure. John.
I did get a copy of that document and I read it. One observation, though, is that there's probably multiple opinions about it, and so for people to just unanimously and unquestionably approve it and support it without hearing all sides of different issues is, I hope, not what this committee is about. I hope this committee is a collaborative with everyone having a voice, and I appreciate that, and that's what I wanted to hear, Tom. Thank you.
Thanks, John. So there'll be an opportunity after agenda item number 5 to discuss the document that Gustavo sent out to the entire committee. I won't give you, attribute you as the entire author, but to those folks who worked on it, we'll talk about it under number five. Okay, anything else? All right, so we'll get into some additional housekeeping towards the end of the meeting, but let's just go ahead and jump into air monitoring plan and implementation. He's no stranger to you, John.
Thank you, Jimmy. Good to be here tonight. I'm John Klassen, Director of Strategies and Incentives. Just wanted to give a brief update on implementing our community air monitoring network here in Shafter. And I'll try to be very brief. I know we want to focus the majority of our time here on talking about ideas for the community emission reduction program. So just wanted to mention we're continuing to work on talking to different areas of Shafter, trying to get the okay and the green light to place equipment in different areas based on the network map that we looked at a couple of months ago. We're making progress there. And I wanted to mention, too, the document that was shared that was just discussed by a number of the committee members made some good recommendations for air monitoring on the document. A couple of them that came up were Golden Oak Elementary and Sequoia Elementary. Just wanted to let you know that we are actively talking to both those schools to get monitoring up in place at those places. They're good, secure locations, access to power. It's looking really good for that, and that's going well. I think it's going to work out. We're also talking to Grimway Academy, kind of in the southwest area of the residential area of Shafter. I think it's going to work to place some equipment there as well. And we'll keep talking to different areas, different properties to get it to work out for our initial network. On the document that was discussed, there are a lot of other recommendations to do some air monitoring of areas outside of the core of the Shafter area, and I think those will be great locations to use our air monitoring van to go out, take some measurements in these different areas near these sources, get an idea of what's happening, and based on those findings, perhaps we could do some more long-term monitoring in different areas. So as we learn more, we can shift the network around and see what else we can do. So we're continuing to make progress. We'll keep you updated as we get more equipment out there. And we're also working on the air monitoring plan document itself, that's not just monitoring locations. That's going to be talking about a lot of different things that go on with air monitoring, about quality control procedures, how we handle the data, how we keep it, how we collect it, make sure it's being looked at properly, how we maintain our equipment. So it's going to discuss a lot of different aspects of how we're going to take care of our network. So that's something we're continuing to work on. Once we have that drafted, we'll send it out to the committee here to look it over, and we'd love to get your feedback on that before we finalize that. So that's coming up soon. And that's it for my brief update, and I think we can move on unless there are any questions on air monitoring at this time.
¿Podría haber un estimado de como cuánto se tardaría para dar los resultados? No a largo plazo, sino que sería lo más mejor posible, lo más pronto posible, antes de que terminemos con estos meses. Con estos meses. Antes de que terminemos con esto de porque ya llevamos los meses que llevamos, hemos estado progresando, pero aún todavía van a poner los monitores. Entonces, sí nos gustaría saber cuánto tiempo podía haber resultados de la contaminación. Se lo agradeceríamos mucho.
Great question. So in regards to the air monitoring data, some of the data we're going to get right away. The monitoring equipment is pretty easy to deploy. We get the data in real time. We can see what's going on right away. Some of the other measurements we take, we'll have to take a sample. It needs to be sent to a laboratory. That could take a few months to get results back, and we need a longer record to really understand what's happening. So some data we'll get very quickly. Some data will take longer. But I did want to mention, too, that the strategies that we're going to come up together, that work together to come up for the community emission reduction program, a lot of it isn't going to be dependent upon air monitoring data. So we can come up with those strategies and those ideas right now and put that in our plan. And as we start to collect more data in the area, that can just give us more information to better understand what's happening and implement other strategies too. So we don't need to wait until we have a big number of years of air monitoring data before we can implement strategies. We can do that right now. And then as we get more data, we can learn more and see what else we can do.
Okay, anything else for John?
So one thing that was not in the document that was submitted is there's a pretty strong interest in the train traffic through Shafter that splits the town, and lots of freight trains idling in the town, and of course pulling heavy loads, taking off, stopping, whatever. So we'd like a really comprehensive look at that, not just a number. We've been showing a number from trains, but highly inaccurate. But through monitoring and some careful analysis, I think you could give us a better picture of the actual pollution from all those diesel train engines as they come through Shafter.
Okay, anyone else? John?
If we're not going to use the data, or I guess what you didn't say that we were not going to use the data, but we don't need the data in order to start up the emissions reduction program, what kinds of, how would we go about doing that without having more data other than just an intuition?
So we do have data. We have emissions inventory data from a number of sources in the area. They report their data, so we know the activities and what's going on with a lot of different sources. So using that can be the basis for a lot of the strategy we put into the community emission reduction program.
Okay, thanks.
That's it from the committee. Okay. So thanks, John. Appreciate the update. Jessica's going to give us an update on development and strategies. So your show.
All right. Hi, everybody. I'm Jessica Coria. It's great to see everyone tonight. I'm going to be talking with you about the SERP development process from now until the end of the year. And I'm also excited to be introducing the initial list of emission reduction strategy concepts for Shafter tonight. So to review, guidance on SERPs is included in CARB's Community Air Protection Blueprint in Appendix C, and I also reviewed the outline for the SERP back in April with the committee. Elements of a SERP are going to include understanding the community, understanding what the community air quality challenges and concerns are, which is kind of what we've been focusing on to date. And from now going forward, we're going to be focusing on how we can collectively address these challenges and concerns. We'll also importantly be developing an implementation schedule, an enforcement plan, and metrics to track progress over time so we can see how the SERP is affecting the air quality in the community. So to review our timeline, in August, our steering committee will be finalizing the input on the SERP. September 19th, the SERP will be presented to the district governing board for adoption. And then by October 1st, the Valley Air District needs to forward the SERP to CARB for their approval. We have a long way to go between now and September. And so this slide is going to detail how we're going to get there. So per the committee's recommendation, we've scheduled bi-monthly meetings between now and August, which we can continue into August as needed. And you can see, so at past meetings, we've heard some really great input from the committee and the public about community concerns. Back in May, we sent out a prioritization worksheet for the committee to provide more information about the sources of concern that we've heard about to date, and also to allow a prioritization of those concerns. If you haven't had a chance to complete that worksheet, it's not too late. We do have copies available, so speak to myself or Jimmy if you need a copy of that after my presentation. We would really still really value your input on that. Tonight's meeting, if I turn this on, is going to focus on an introduction of the strategy concepts. So keep in mind these are preliminary strategy concepts that we want to build and further refine with input from the committee. We're going to be in a World Cafe style for questions and answers, which I'll go into a little bit more detail about how that's going to work out later. June 24th, we will provide an opportunity to further refine those concepts and to get a little bit more definition about what we're hoping to implement in the community. And then moving into July, we will be focusing on targets for the strategies as well as metrics for the SERP. So diving into today's meeting, we're going to be talking about ways to reduce air pollution in Shafter. Things to consider as we're developing strategies include what is the targeted source of air pollution and what agency has jurisdiction over the source. There's several different methods that we can use to target emission reductions. So think of these like tools in your SERP toolkit. So keep in mind the SERP is the Community Emission Reduction Program, right? So we're trying to reduce these emissions. We can do that through incentive-based pollution reduction strategies, which we can either enhance our existing measures that we already have out there valley-wide, or we can come up with new incentive ideas. Regulatory strategies must be taken through a public process. Keep in mind, due to the valley's non-attainment status, we already have extensive regulations for both mobile and stationary sources, but we are looking for ways to strengthen those regulations, especially as we're looking at, you know, the specific impacts of those facilities or sources on the community. Outreach and engagement is going to be critical because, you know, how are these SERP processes going to work if no one knows about it? So if you as residents and experts in your community have ideas for furthering engagement in Shafter, we're really looking to hear from those. For sources that the Air District doesn't have regulation or jurisdiction over, partnership with other agencies like CARB and DPR, cities and counties for land use are going to be critical. And then finally, mitigation strategies aren't going to reduce pollution, but they're going to reduce the impact of pollution on sensitive sources. So measures like school filtration systems or school flag notification systems, enrolling Shafter schools in our Healthier Living Schools program. Those are all measures that would qualify as mitigation strategies. So finally, I know everyone's excited for more information about our strategies. So let me dive into a little bit more information about how tonight's meeting is going to work. We have a list of our emission reduction strategy concepts. These have been developed based on the community's feedback about sources of concern to date, and we'll be further refining, like I said, these strategies over the coming months with your input. Tonight, we're going to be participating in World Cafe-style conversations, which will allow both the public and the committee to have their questions about existing control programs answered, to discuss the initial draft strategy concepts, and to also hopefully brainstorm some additional new ideas. So if you look at the worksheet, this one, which is in everybody's packet and the public has access to in the back of the room, these are going to be our draft strategy concepts. So if you look, measure number is just to allow reference to the strategy we're talking about. The table number is going to correspond to what table has experts for more information. So if you look at table one, that's going to be more information about passenger cars. Table two is going to have information about heavy-duty trucks, trains, buses, and public fleets. Table three will have more information about what we can do to control residential and urban sources, such as wood burning, lawn and garden emissions, cooking emissions, as well as outreach and mitigation strategies that we can employ. So that's going to be Jamie's table, or table three. Table four is going to have further information about land use and stationary sources in the community. So we've got table four over here. And then table five is going to talk about control of emissions from agriculture. And table six, we have our staff from the Department of Pesticide Regulations here to answer questions you may have specifically about pesticides. So we're going to be, Jimmy's going to talk a little bit more in detail about the specific logistics of how this is going to work, but we're going to be starting in your core groups here and then breaking out into the conversations. It's going to be 10 minutes per rotation, so you'll have 10 minutes per conversation for a total of 3 rotations. So talk amongst yourselves. You can divide and conquer and make sure everyone from your group covers all the tables of interest. Or you can, if you personally just want to stay at one table and hear all there is to know about pesticides, for example, you're more than welcome to do that as well. So we're going to take a small break, allow you to review these the measures, kind of come up with your priorities for what you'd like to hear more about, and then Jimmy will be guiding you in the World Cafe exercise. And our committee members, if you all need a copy, if anyone needs a copy of the prioritization worksheet that was sent out in May, let me know or let Jimmy know and we can provide that to you, okay? So anybody needs the prioritization worksheet, just raise their hand or come talk to me. Okay. All right, guys. And just one thing to mention, so we are starting in the core groups. If everybody, if I can have your attention for 1 second. So our committee members, we're starting in the core groups. We're going to divide out to the tables for 3 rotations, and then we're going to be coming back to our small tables to report out about what you learned in that discussion and to comment on the strategies. Does that make sense, Gustavo?
Committee, ladies and gentlemen, public, hey, staff, hang on. Guys, can I have your attention? Thank you. So here's the situation. Tonight we've got experts from CARB, the Air District, Department of Pesticide Regulation, and the Ag Commissioner's Office. Okay, specifically for the committee members, you pick your table that you want to go to, you stay 10 minutes, and I'll call the question, and you can rotate. If you want to stay at a certain table based on the key that was given to you, passengers, schools, ag, oil and gas, by all means, stay the whole evening at the table, okay? But what we're asking is that you appoint someone within your group and that you rotate through. For the public, you too can participate in this World Cafe, these meetings. The other things that we always get is, are the representatives, can we follow up with them? Is there contact information available? Absolutely. If the public doesn't want to participate but they have a question, we've got comment cards in the back which we'll definitely give to each appropriate agency that the question is related to, okay? So this World Cafe is critical because it begins the discussion on the SERP and some other things that are going on in the Shafter community. So with that, do we have any questions from the committee or the public in general regarding World Cafe? And at our next meeting, the room will be reconfigured a different way too, so. Anything else? So you all have the key, which is critical. The key is this right here. So if you're oil and gas related, ag related, if you want to know more about cars, trains, you need to go to the key and you can start out the appropriate table. If you want a menu or smorgasbord, hors d'oeuvres, entree, and the dessert, please rotate. But if you feel like you got to stay at one table because you want to drill down on an issue, you can stay there for an hour. Now, it's critical when we convene back that you all pick a representative to speak specifically on the issue at hand. You all may have a common ground or a common denominator. You all may have a variety of opinions. We'll work that out after the exercise. And again, to the general public, you're more than happy to go through these six tables as well. This table, DPR, Ag Commissioner's office, is got a lot of representation. There's not enough chairs. You can pull some up. Starting 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 4, 5, 6. Okay? Jessica, anything else? Are we good? Okay, so it's 6 o'clock, folks. We're ready to go. Let's just go ahead and go to the appropriate table and let's just start some dialogue. All right, thank you. Hi. That's 15 minutes. If you want to rotate, let's rotate if you're engaged in some in-depth conversation. But committee members, let's rotate. And no one rotates. Okay, folks, it's 10 till 7. Let's just wrap this up. If you can. Gotta wrap it up, guys. Gotta get it going. Lois, Red. Tom, let's wrap it up. We're gonna get into it. Show. Let's go. All right, that's it. Folks, let's go. We gotta finish this up tonight. All right. Scott, John, Jamie, let's go. Gotta kill it, yeah. Gotta wrap it up. Tom. Let's go, committee. Okay, so we've had a good solid hour of discussion. And I want to thank all the representatives from California Air Resources Board to the Air District to the Ag Commissioner's Office to the Department of Pesticides Regulation. Thank you for your time tonight in this 100 plus degree weather in Shafter, California. So let's really get down to the meat of it. We need to get some feedback from the committee. Public will have an opportunity to chime in as well. But for committee members, there's some takeaways here, at least what you've learned. Cynthia will continue to post. In addition, we also have an online form that you're able to submit questions or thoughts. So if you leave tonight and you through osmosis, you driving home, and you've got some additional thoughts, please go online onto the Valley Air Pollution Control District website, and you'll be able to give us some additional thoughts. So, Tom, you want to kick this off? You got some thoughts in terms of what? Nothing?
No.
All right. anybody else from the committee? Yeah, I mean, this is basically your takeaways from these six stations tonight that are related to the issue at hand regarding SERP and some of the issues that we've discussed. Scott.
I think basically what I took away is it'll take a while to look at this list, decide how to rank those, what maybe are the most feasible, what are the most practical, but I think the common denominator is the education of the public is probably at the top of all these lists. Let the public know what programs are currently available, and that was one of the struggles, was getting that word out through sources that people can trust. They don't feel like they're getting taken as part of some government thing. Is to figure out how to educate the public, what's available now, take advantage of that, and it would be much easier to roll these new programs out if you've established that.
Okay, Scott, thank you. Anybody else from the committee that's got thoughts? Gustavo.
Yeah, I think some of the thoughts that I had going around was, I think one was the current incentive programs that exist, have them, you know, the ones that are working, the ones that are not working, kind of revamp them. And I think having a lens of like hyper local here in Shafter and seeing like what benefits overall the community, I think is also key. But then also looking at like new requirements that potentially might like, you know, need like legislative change or bigger changes from like a larger region. And focus it in Shafter. What that means, an example is, I'm gonna call you out, Glenn, I'm sorry. But I was having a conversation with the Ag Commissioner where the question was, if say there is a new rulemaking that happens, can the Ag Commissioner focus it, you know, solely on Shafter, or does it have to be everywhere? And he reinstated that there is a possibility that exists that local kind of permit requirements are looked at, but something that needs to happen collectively, as you know, from the residents, you know, bringing that information out. So I think moving forward is looking at these incentive programs that have worked in the past for, you know, homeowners and businesses alike in Shafter, and just emphasizing in this new 617 program, because Shafter is one of the first 10 communities to have those kind of hyper local here in the city of Shafter.
Okay, thank you. Great feedback. Anyone else from the committee, any thoughts based on your interaction with the experts at these tables? Good or bad? Positive? We do anything right? We do anything wrong? No? Should we all go home? All right, anyone from the public, any thoughts? Jessica, do you want to, should we?
So just to follow up on a couple of points I heard tonight, we are working on a preparation of a document that we'll make public and send out to the steering committee that has a little bit more of a written documentation of existing control for sources of concern. So both mobile, stationary, agriculture, kind of all the high points we've heard from the committee about what you're worried about, we're working on putting together a written version that'll kind of highlight what you heard from our experts tonight about how these are already controlled, what existing programs are out there. And I think we're hoping that can be used to kind of build upon for the development of either enhanced or new strategies. Other thing, your worksheet that was part of your packet, we're going to be sending that out via email. So as you digest these measures and look at them, if you have questions that come up or if you have additional suggestions that come out of kind of reviewing those measures, We're going to send it out via email and also mail it, so it'll be available, and you can send it into the district in the next week or so. Any other questions? We'll go to the public.
We really appreciate your sending out your packet, and I was just wondering if you can post it online as well, because a lot of people, I think folks here included, are not part of the steering committee and like to access the document. Thanks.
Sorry. Anyone else from the public? Sounds like the committee's pretty much given their thoughts. Any other? No one? Okay. So, Gustavo, you've got a question or you've got a statement?
Yeah,
sure. Yeah, okay.
It'll be very brief. I just want to make make this public. So this, the updated community air monitoring plan, special pesticide plan, and then also the emission reduction program is, hopefully it will be available to the public very soon if it hasn't already, is a program and something that has detailed that, and all the information that's on here is stuff that has been covered in each of the meetings that we've had here. So it's nothing radically new. It's just put in one document. But really, to start off on the air monitoring plan, and thankfully, John has already addressed some of this, that some of the schools are being looked at. So if you guys look at the air monitoring plan, it's different sites, different emissions and sources that we've identified from the very beginning, right? And so it's stated on here on the proposed SERP, the community air reduction for Shafter, gives a slight introduction, and then it gives a series of obviously first drafted proposals. And in that, it includes a lot of the conversations that we've had here, and then also a lot of kind of like the meetings that we've had independently with residents to kind of, we have a kind of debrief meetings and folks are invited, where we kind of just like, all right, what happened yesterday, right? What was the meeting about? You know, what are some of the high level takeaways? And then kind of just put that out there, right? There's an additional layer of kind of conversations that need to happen for residents to really take this in. And so it's all been projected here. And then again, with the last portion of it, the pesticide is something that, you know, we've had conversations with both, not exclusively here, but also, you know, at large as other coalitions. So very excited to, you know, to present this. Like I said, a lot of the members that were here present in this committee put this together, but it really ranged from all the comments and conversations that we've had here in this room collectively, and obviously, you know, putting all this together. So if folks have any questions, any of the residents that were part of it, and hopefully we have, you know, a time in the future to take a look at this and like John said, actually discuss it, right? This is a preliminary draft that we put together. It's not something that we should just run away with, but actually start discussing it and digesting it. So I just want to make sure that everyone feels invited to actually look at this document, critique it, and, you know, actually start building both the monitoring plan, the emission reduction, but also look at and focus on things that are very important, like pesticides that we've talked about probably at every meeting.
Go ahead, John.
One quick comment. I look forward to discussing it with you, but in looking at it, it did appear to me, being a novice at this, that there were several recommendations that would require some regulatory changes. If we could get the district to comment on all of them, and if they would actually, you know, if they fall within the purview of this committee without additional legislation or some sort of regulatory move, I would appreciate that distinction.
Okay.
Thank you.
Great. So, Jamie, is that document online, and does the public have access to that, or what are we doing here?
And so I just wanted to reiterate a little bit the SERP development process. So at our next meeting in late June, we're going to be kind of diving into these strategy concepts a little bit more, trying to get some prioritization and trying to take any recommendations that the committee is giving us and incorporate those as feasible into our list of strategies. So that's going to be our next meeting. And then the meetings in July are going to focus on developing the targets and the metrics. And so the targets might be things like, hey, we want to do X number of projects for this measure. So for example, if we had a mobile source measure, we wanted to replace, you know, X amount of passenger vehicles with electric vehicles, that might be a target that we can put into the SERP. So we'll kind of be getting a little more specific with these measures, taking into account the committee's input as we go. And then, of course, providing opportunities and to get your feedback with those specific measures. So we definitely want to thank everyone for contributing to that, the SERP recommendations from the committee. We're really looking forward to getting additional recommendations like that from the other members of the committee and kind of seeing where we wind up as a community as a whole with those recommendations. So.
Great. So for committee members, if you've noticed, we 2 weeks from tonight, June 24th, same venue, same time frame. But we'll be doing a deep dive, so please don't be confused that the next meeting in July, 2 weeks from tonight, we have another meeting of this committee. Well, the Air District feels that, based on some of our time frame, that we've got, we're condensing the second and fourth Mondays. Right. Yeah. So 24th of June is the next meeting date for what Jessica just laid out. Okay, so is there anything with regards to World Cafe or anything? Because I'd like to kind of maybe punt and move on to potentially other issues that the committee or the public may want to chime in on. Anything on World Cafe? Gustavo chimed in. Angelica, where's the what? Oh, yeah, exactly. Scott, yeah.
Tom brought up a great point at the very first table, table one. A lot of the incentives that are being talked about and a lot of incentives that are out there now are redeemed through tax credits. And a lot of the people we're talking about affecting, a lot of people in the community, don't have enough revenue in their tax return to take advantage of the full value of those incentives. So there may be some work that could be done on the part of the Air District and CARB and these other agencies collectively in Sacramento, or even federal money to change those so the rebates not strictly tax credits.
Okay. Good point. Anyone else?
Some time back, we did, my family, we did a program like that, but it was only because of an emissions, it failed emissions, but only a certain part of it did not fail. That's how come they didn't accept it. But we were still wanting to at least trade in that vehicle because it was way past the 10, 20-year limit that they have on older vehicles. Is there, like, some other way that we can have, like an incentive program where it's kind of like tune in, tune up, but for other problems that a vehicle might have besides just failing the emissions part of a smog test?
So let me get Brian, if you want to address that, it'd be great.
So one of the things we're hoping to do with our vehicle replacement program is currently it does require an emissions failure. A car can fail a smog test for a number of reasons, including just some kind of functional issues with the car. But we want to start just replacing cars that are, you know, 1999 and older, regardless if they have an emissions failure or not, just because those cars are 20-plus years old at this point. They're higher emitting than, you know, any other newer cars that are out there. And so just trying to be a little bit more inclusive of accepting older cars into the program without necessarily requiring that specific emissions failure. So in that particular case, we'd be able to go ahead and take that vehicle and replace it through the system.
Yeah, because this one was a 98, and it didn't pass the smog the first time, but they told us that it was only because it had passed the emissions but not the functionality, that's how come that the program didn't apply to us. The lady had even said, unless if by next week someone tinkers with a car, you have a cousin that takes something out, then and they go through the emissions test again, there's no point in you coming back to qualify for this program.
Yeah, we don't want to encourage anybody to tamper with the vehicles. They're not supposed to be doing that.
That
has been kind of a key component to date, is focusing on those ones that are higher emitting than what they're supposed to be for replacement with the limited funding that we have. But moving forward, trying to expand that to capture more vehicles that would be eligible to participate in the program.
Yeah, especially for people who are from low-income families that are having a hard time, that it's more, they put more money trying to fix the vehicle than what they would probably do if they just traded it in for a newer one.
Absolutely, and certainly agree with you there. So that's something that we'll be looking to roll out in the very near future.
Okay.
Great, thanks, Brian. So anything else from the committee with regards to World Cafe? We understand that there's a document that Gustavo and members of the committee have authored and put together, and Gustavo's looking for some feedback. And obviously, 2 weeks from tonight, there's a little bit more deeper dive. So we encourage all the committee members. My understanding is that you all should have that document. And then I believe Jamie's trying to get it up on the public domain at some point here in the near future. With that, I would now like to just pivot to just comment, public comment, any takeaways that really doesn't have to do with World Cafe, but if there's anything else that needs to be addressed from a committee standpoint and the public. It's 7:15, so we got a little bit of time here to talk about any concerns or thoughts that we can get up on the whiteboard. Committee members? Anything else that we need to address, or any takeaways tonight, good or bad? No? General public, is there anything that any of you'd like to chime in on? If not, there's comment cards, and of course, there's always the online portal. But is there anything on Patty?
Sure. In the very beginning, the Air District was talking about the schools and that there was work towards monitoring Golden Oak and Sequoia. Is that correct? Right. Okay. So I just want to kind of ask a question. When you put the monitoring devices on those school locations, mobile sources is what you will pick up. You will pick up the cars for the people dropping their kids off and picking them up during the day. So I think that would be helpful to explain that's what you're going to pick up. So instead of the kids walking to school or taking a bus, you're going to pick up the mobile sources that are going to those school locations. Is that correct?
Yeah, I see your point. Definitely in the morning and the afternoon when there's a lot of people coming, dropping off their kids, picking up. Some of the emissions are definitely being impacted by that. But the rest of the day, that's not really happening. So we're going to be able to measure what's going on in an ambient sense in that area, and also some of the sources that might be impacting that are nearby. So we'll get a feel for both through what we're doing. Yeah.
Anything else? Cody? Anyone else from the general public? Has any other thoughts? Is that it? Jamie, we good? Okay, so ladies and gentlemen, thank you. Thank you to all of our experts who came out tonight from CARB, the district, Ag Commissioner's Office, DPR. We'll see you in about 2 weeks. Same time, same place.